You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
Good morning, Launch Streeters. I've got another great interview for you today. I talked to Mike Arce, who is the host of the top fitness business video podcast, The GSD Show. By the way, we talk about what GSD stands for and why it's so important. He's also the founder and CEO of Loud Rumor, a seven-figure advertising agency for small businesses in the fitness and wellness space. And he's helped over 25 major brands, including ones like Orange Theory Fitness, which you've probably heard of. We dig into what are the traits, the skills that you need to be successful. We talk a lot about what it means to be an Entra employee. So think of it as an employee, but with an entrepreneur's mindset. Some of his best strategies for getting stuff done. And believe it or not, why structures and systems are so important to innovation. You ready to dig in? I know I am.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Tamara.
So let's start with, tell us just a little bit about how you got into the whole fitness space.
Well, actually, I got into it before I ever got into the marketing space. When I was 19 years old, I was actually already into martial arts for about a year, and I was already competing and traveling like little local places for tournaments. And the boys at that age start becoming men, and I was pretty thin and small, so I couldn't afford a trainer. So I switched majors for a little bit, and I went to a Glendale Community College, and I got a personal training certification. It was like an 18-credit course throughout the semester, and I thought it was cool. So instead of being a waiter, I transitioned to becoming a personal trainer at LA Fitness, and I did that for like 6 years. So I was a fitness professional before I was into marketing at all, and I actually started a fitness business. I had a personal training company, had trainers working underneath me, and then I got into the marketing game after that, and that's kind of how that's why I chose the fitness space, if that makes sense.
No, that does. And I'm curious, you know, because one of the things I see in fitness, I guess, is that like if you're good at it, which it sounds like you are, part of that is getting other people to believe they can do things that maybe they never thought they could do, whether that's lift weights, lose weight, get strong, you know, whatever it is. And that often translates into business too. Did you find that those skills helped you in both places?
Yeah, you know, the fitness is so parallel to just running a business in general. So it's used a lot in analogies. Like you have to get outside of your comfort zone, and you know, it's the work that you're doing today is hard, but it'll be easy tomorrow, which is why you have to lift more weights, you know, tomorrow in order for it to always still be hard. And it's just, there's a lot of ways I've found parallels between fitness and just being a business owner.
So you have built some pretty successful businesses, I'd argue, in a pretty cluttered category. I mean, there's a lot of people in the fitness world, both in marketing, I think also in the personal training world, but you've seemed to rise above the top. So I'm curious, what are a few skills that you think could make anyone more successful, regardless of their position or industry, that you've either used or, you know, have experienced?
They have to want to learn and then execute. So there's a lot of people that like to learn, or they think learning is the answer. So that's why you see people that stay in college for till they're like 30, 35 years old, and they're always getting the next degree or the next certification because that's what will open them up to a better career. And that doesn't help. And then there's people that execute with no education and they can never keep it together. I think it's important you learn stuff and you execute. All my business coaches, Chris Ronzio, Mark Lack, Billie Jean, now Russell Brunson, they'll all tell you, I guarantee it, with the exception of Russell Brunson, just because I just started with them, they'll all tell you I'm their best student. And I guarantee that because they've told me that already. And the reason they say I'm their best student is because whatever they tell me to do, I never say it's not going to work or I've tried it already or anything like that. I take the note and then within like a day or two, it's already being put in motion. And that is what I believe has helped me more than anything else, is just being totally open to other people's, you know, perspective and opinions and strategies, and then just executing on it. If it works, great. You know, if it doesn't work, hey, no big deal. Like, well, what else was I going to try? So not a big, you know, that's my philosophy to the whole thing.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I'm kind of in the same boat. I have incredible mentors and people I learn from, and they're always shocked at how quickly I put stuff into action. And I'm always amazed at people that think that the learning is the execution. And they seem, they tend to stop there. They're almost like seminar junkies, you know, and they're always there. And they think that's the action, where the action is in the doing. And I'm curious from your perspective, what's the balance between I've got to learn some new things, I've got to take it in, and I've got to execute, you know, because it, I think the flip side to that is some people get stuck in the, I need to learn, but it's a little bit of fear that keeps them from the execution side. So where do you cut the line off of like, I know enough to at least try it?
Well, you'll never know, enough about this one thing to at least try it. Okay. So I think what happens is a lot of people, and I've been guilty of this too, you start looking up to people like Elon Musk and Tai Lopez, and I think Richard Branson does it as well. I can't remember if it's him, but these people that read like a book a day, right?
Yeah.
Warren Buffett, I think, reads a lot too, like that. And so people are like, that's the key, read a book a day. Well, you can read a book a day all you want. You're not going to be Elon Musk. You can read three books a day. You're not going to be Elon Musk. You know, so the reason these guys are able to read that much per day and still execute is because these guys have teams.
Yeah.
So I can read more now productively than I was able to read 4 years ago productively, because 4 years ago I wasn't able to execute 9 out of 10 things I was reading because I just didn't have the time. Whereas today I have a team of 21 or 22 people. I can say like, hey, I just learned about this. It's a good idea. JT, Sam, Sarah, I want you guys to do this. Right. And these guys take it and they can execute it. So as quickly as you can execute is when you should go on to the next thing. And whether that's you, remember, it's not you having to get it done. It's about it just getting done. So you don't have to do the work. You just have to make sure it gets done.
That's a really powerful distinction that I just want to take a pause on, because I think there's a difference between accountability and responsibility. And what you're saying, if I hear you right, is it's got to get done, but don't worry, you don't have to do everything.
Right. It's on me to make sure it gets done, but it's on you to do it.
Yeah. You talked about having a team. I want to dig into that a little bit, because you have an agency, which tell us a little bit about what the agency does. And then what I want to dig into is, you know, you're known for having great people with a great culture. So what are the steps you took to get there? Because I think culture is one of those things where, you know, most of us just hope it kind of happens naturally, but it is pretty intentional.
It's 100% intentional, and I mess up on it a lot. I messed up on it last week, you know, and so I'll tell you a little bit about that. So what our agency does, we are a lead generation company for people in the fitness and wellness space, mainly working with fitness studios. We will work with massage studios as well, but mainly fitness studios is our core client. And that's like group fitness, that kind of stuff. We use Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube in order to generate the leads. And we have a beautiful funnel that follows it to make sure that we are optimizing those leads and putting them in the best chance to become paying customers for our clients. Along with that, we have a huge learning center filled with videos, templates, scripts that helps people do more with the leads by learning how to close them, how the best studios that we work with are closing these leads. And then we also have a really great podcast that helps support so they can see what the best are doing as well. So that's what the agency does. As far as the culture goes, it used to suck really bad. I had a conversation with my wife in like 2014 in the hallway, basically in tears, telling her, we're going to close this place up. I don't care about selling it. I don't care about anything. I just want to close it because I'm done. Because it was just such a like bad environment. It was unhealthy. There was tension in the air all the time. Like you walked into tension, you left tension.
Oh, yuck.
So I was that person that was saying stuff like, man, I just can't find good people. I can't find good people that want to work. I can't find good people that, you know, want to learn. And so I went to one of my mentors who has 200 employees and a really great culture. And I asked him, you know, what do I do here? And he said, why keep saying you can't find people? It's not that. Infusionsoft down the road has 500 employees. GoDaddy down the road has 2,000 employees. And they're known for having a great culture. You can't find six. At the time I had, you know, five or six. And so I said, I don't know where they're looking. And he goes, do you think it's where they're looking or who's doing the looking? Do you think maybe it's a you problem? And so I realized that I was that guy that thought he knew about leadership because I thought I understood what that meant because I watched movies and stuff like that. But I never actually studied it. I was never a student of it. And I had to learn a lot about it. And it goes really deep. And the more employees you get, the different types of leadership you have to learn, because leading six people where you're managing them is very different than leading 20 people where you're really leading three leaders that are managing the team, you know? So I had to read a lot of leadership books. Multipliers was my favorite book. Simon Sinek has a couple really great books, like Starts With Why, Leaders Eat Last. Books on culture like Customer Loyalty is Worthless. Customer Satisfaction is Worthless. Customer Loyalty is Priceless. Hug Your Haters. I just dove in, and I knew that I had to become a better leader and know what a great culture was really about. So yes, a lot of the things in the office, a lot of the conversations, a lot of the activities, they're not only intentional, but they're like almost scheduled to make sure that they happen.
So I'm curious then, what do you think makes a good leader? Now that you have experienced it, you know, if I'm out there, if I'm a launch leader out there listening, what skills or I guess tools should I be considering to boost my leadership ability?
One, knowing you're never a great leader. You never are, because leadership will come. If you're even a really good leader, you're growing your team. And by the time you achieve greatness, it's time to develop a whole new level of leadership.
That's well said.
So like the captain of a basketball team, he leads his team. He can talk to his team very differently than the coach of that basketball team because he's peer. The coach can talk very differently to his team than the owner or the general manager, you know? So there's different levels and there's respect among those levels and conversations that can be had. And so just when you think you're doing a good job, you realize that you need to learn other stuff now. So last week, for example, I got no sleep. I went insomniac for like 6 days. It was really weird. I've never had that happen. And I let my brain get foggy and I didn't have conversations I should have had. I led a team with very little clarity and communication. No, a lot of people didn't know what we were doing on this 6-day trip that we were taking, two different conferences we were sponsoring. And that confusion makes people stressed. And they were a stressed unit and they were confused. And now assumptions start leading. And that was all caused because I didn't lead well. And you can say, oh, well, you didn't have sleep. You're right. But that's my job, is to figure that out. Like sleep or no sleep. Jordan, you know, hit the game winning shot in game six with the flu. And that's his job, you know.
You know, you're reminding me of a time I used to be vice president of this brand strategy consulting firm. And our president refused to take leadership. He created a vacuum and wanted the rest of us to do it. But at the end of the day, he was the president. And unfortunately, in that vacuum created a lot of confusion and stress for people. We were doing great work. That wasn't the issue. But our culture sucked because we didn't have someone at the top thinking through, hey, this is my job. And wouldn't you say that, especially as you talked a little bit about the different levels, that leadership comes at all levels. It's not just your job, right? It's other people in your company's job.
Right. Great leaders don't create followers. They create leaders. That's why the book Multipliers is titled the way it is.
So one of the things that I'm really was intrigued to ask you about, and I think we come from similar perspectives here, is you talk about wanting an, let me see, make sure I say it right, but intra-employee mindset. What is that?
Yeah.
And just elaborate on that and then we'll dig in.
Well, we all own. That's one of our core values is own, we own. And that is, you know, this company is our company. This isn't my company. This is our company. And what would we do to make our company better, which would make our friends, right, all the people that work here better, because as the company grows, more opportunities open up for you and all of your friends that work here. As our company grows, we're able to invest in product development and we're able to provide better service to our customers, which is something that's very gratifying to us. So we have to learn how to think that way and how to treat this business like it's our own. And this weekend we were at a conference called Thrive, and I was able to make a $20,000 donation to this charity that they were promoting. And that was one of our goals, is to donate a certain amount of money each year. And that's what we had left. So it was great. But when my team sat down, they said, that was really nice of what you did. I said, I didn't do that. That didn't come out of my paycheck. That came out of Loud Rumor. And so all of us donated. And the reason all of us were able to do that is because we all work so hard on being efficient that we're able to have the margins that we have to have the excess funds to be able to do good in the world like we just did. You know, so now everyone, instead of them feeling like, man, Mike donated, I wish I could do that much good in the world. No, they donated as much as I did. Nothing came out of my paycheck.
So I hear from a lot of my clients that they want their employees to be more entrepreneurial. And I think part of that is innovation, having more of an innovative kind of scrappy mindset. And part of that is ownership. How have you found to hire for those people and also to foster that sense of ownership? Because I think it's something that can, it can get lost, but I'm hearing it over and over again. So I'm curious how you've gotten there.
So to be very clear, I don't think the employee is an entrepreneur that's temporarily an employee. So I don't hire entrepreneurs. I hire people that want to be a part of a great team for the next 15, 20 years. Now, I have hired people that were very honest with me and straight up and said, I want to own my own business one day. And with the role that they were in, I thought that would make sense for both of us. But it's only been maybe like two or three. Everybody else, I want people that are long-term. The entrepreneur doesn't mean to me, you know, be an entrepreneur and an employee at the same time. It just means own this business and be creative and learn how to solve problems. And that's something that I think everyone should do, you know, because it creates two things. One, it creates great job security. Nothing makes you have a more secure job than you solving company problems and making the company better, right? Finding ways to do that.
Yeah.
But two, what it does is it prevents people from ever looking for the greener side. I think a lot of people, once they break that honeymoon period at a job, that 3-month period, they start looking at other places for that greener side, as opposed to making their side greener. And an entrepreneur can make their side greener. An employee hopes that the side gets green on its own. And once they see that the culture changes or it's not what they thought, then they leave to whatever appears greener.
I want launch treaters out there to just take a deep breath and really recognize that it's on you to make your own job or your own role, your own situation, your career greener, not to necessarily just look for greener. I think that is such a powerful comment, Mike. I know you kind of went quickly through it, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it's not about hiring entrepreneurs. It's about hiring people that feel a sense of ownership and have the, and then you giving them the opportunity to contribute back.
Right. Exactly.
So I was reading one of your blogs and you said something that made my eyes go a little bit wide and I think is a little bit contrarian to kind of what we keep hearing, you know, on all the big articles and, you know, all the business, you know, magazines or entrepreneur magazines, which is all about, you know, what we hear is it's all about the people. It's all about the people. It's all about the people. Yes. But you said something that really struck me, which was people shouldn't run a business. Systems should run a business and people should run systems. What is that?
Yeah. Well, just so you know, remember how I told you earlier, I'm just a really great student and I execute.
Yeah.
I didn't come up. That's E-Myth. That's Michael Gerber.
I love that book.
I am not creative. I'm just really good at following through. Right. That's why it's get shit done, not get shit started. You know, so I believe that systems are what make a really great business great. And great people like to work within a great system. You know, great players like to play under coaches, you know, athletes, they like to play under great coaches that have great systems in place because they know it allows them to be more successful. And I think when there is more organization and more clarity, people are more happy coming into work and they feel more confident coming into work. And that confidence gives them a better level of satisfaction. That's why I was saying last week I messed up by not having that clarity and that communication that created stress. So the opposite, if you have full clarity and full understanding as to what needs to be done, that creates confidence, which is the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you take companies like McDonald's, which Michael Gerber mentions a lot. McDonald's, you know, created the fast food industry. If you ever watch a movie, The Founder, it's incredible. But they created the speedy system, the ability to get food, a burger to you in 30 seconds instead of 30 minutes. But they did that in a very short, you know, in a very great system. So think about what happens. People think it's easy because they see 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds run the place, but there's extremely hot oil and grease, and there's food that can be contaminated, that could be old. There's thousands of customers that come in on an hourly basis at some locations, with people that want refunds, with people that got their orders incorrect. There's just so many things that happen in such a short period of time because it is a speedy system, and you got 16 and 18-year-olds running it. Well, I guarantee you, you take six of the best chefs and restaurant entrepreneurs on the planet and you say, hey, I'm going to give you McDonald's, but I'm going to take the systems. I'm going to take the binders, but I'm going to give you a McDonald's location. And then down the street, there's another McDonald's location. I'm going to give them the systems, but I'm going to give 16 and 18-year-olds the ability to run it. These 16 and 18-year-olds will get more done, run it better, have less mistakes, and have more profit than the restaurant experts that have to create that system or figure it out and bump into each other and do all that stuff on their own. Mm. So I think great systems need to be ran by great people. Great systems run the business. Great people run the systems.
So how did you figure out the systems for your business? Was there trial and error in there? Did you model somebody else?
Yeah, if something doesn't work, you fix it. If something was uncomfortable, you do something about it. So we have 11 disclaimers in our agreement that didn't used to exist. And then it used to be one, then it used to be three, then it used to be seven, then it was eight. And we would add things as we realized, wow, people don't know this going in. We need to fix this. We have videos that get sent automatically to our clients that we don't have to do. It's all automated to explain to them things ahead of time that usually they have questions on. Everything is automated here. Whatever can be automated is automated. And whatever cannot be automated has to be human done. There's checklists. People here that without any experience, without any, can learn how to run Facebook ads that drive in 200 to 300 leads a month for most locations we take on in 4 weeks of working with us with zero marketing experience. So that's done with a great system. And so yes, reading books like E-Myth, reading books like Traction or Scaling Up, these are books that really teach you the value of systems and what type of mindset you have to have whenever you're doing something. If you're doing something and it's not written down or it's not documented, then you got a problem.
You know, I used to believe way back in the day that structure and systems and innovation were mutually exclusive. And really what I came to realize in my many years in work is that structure actually allows for innovation because you've got all of that baseline stuff taken care of and it gives you a framework to walk through a process. From your perspective, how do you see the intra-employee, the systems, all the stuff that you've built, how does that help you be more innovative?
Well, because more gets done with less players. So because of that, we have more margins. And because we have more margins, we can afford what's called indirect labor. You know what I mean by indirect labor?
I do, but let's explain it so that the launch readers know too.
So direct labor is usually what companies with bad systems and low margins can only afford. Just enough people to do the job, right? Indirect labor are things that can help the business grow. So I'll give you an example of indirect labor. Director of marketing, video production company, an assistant, a social media expert just for us, just for our company, a content writer. Indeed, everyone I just mentioned is not to help our clients grow. That's just our team to help Loud Rumor grow. What most marketing agencies will say is we're so great at marketing for others, but we suck at it for ourselves.
I just talked to somebody last week who told me that. And I thought to myself, well, then I'm not hiring you.
Here's the thing. It doesn't mean they're bad at marketing. It means they're bad at systems.
Yeah.
So because they could be really great at marketing, so it doesn't mean that they're bad and you shouldn't hire them, because they may do a great job with you. They just don't know how to be a business owner, which is a very different thing, right? There's great personal trainers that don't know how to be a business owner that can get you in phenomenal shape. But what happens is because they don't know how to run a business, they don't appreciate systems, they can't do as much with less people to have the margins to be able to have more people to grow their company.
And do you find that having fewer people but more resources also makes the people who do work for you more invested and more engaged? You're a tight team. Everybody's kind of growing and getting abundance in whatever way with the company when you're able to achieve that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we have two employees that are really passionate about video and video marketing that, you know, I would love to have gone. But I'm traveling a lot and I want to step away from it. And they're real passionate. And I was able to buy them both plane tickets, hotel and tickets to the conference to go to this conference called Vid Summit, I think it's called. Gary Vee speaking and a bunch of great speakers. That's what they love. They love it. They're going to be there like eating it all up. And then they're going to come back and do more with it, which makes them more successful, which gives them confidence, which makes them love their job more, which makes our company grow more. Everything just wins on that, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of companies, they don't do that. You can do that. It's hard. I was able to take six people to two conferences last week.
Yeah, I think the launch traders out there, what I'd love for you to hear from this is there's a big difference between being able to get your work done and being able to really work on your work and having the room and the resources and the opportunity to do that. And I think kind of your example, Mike, with a marketing agency, you know, a lot of them that I see, what they do, what a lot of small businesses or small teams do is they have just enough people to do the work, but there's nobody right. really manning the ship.
Or they have just enough people with the systems they have to do the work. They may have just enough people to do the, to do twice as much work, but because they don't have the systems, they have just enough people to do the work.
So when we got on this call, you started up on video, and I believe I saw the phrase GSD on your shirt. If not there, I know I saw it somewhere because it's stuck in my brain, and I know I've seen it on social media posts and videos. What is it?
Get shit done. That's our motto.
I love it.
That's our motto. That's all we talk about here. And you know, that's the mentality we all have if we want to move forward. You don't move forward by getting shit started, which I think a lot of people do. They love coming up with ideas. They love starting the process. And then before they even get halfway through it, they're already onto the next thing. And you can do that as long as you're getting the first thing done. If you're not getting the first thing done, then you got a lot of problems.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm definitely a great activator or starter. And my follow through has, if you look at my pattern, sense of suck. So I surround myself with people who are really good at follow through, because I will take the learning and I'll start it. Yeah. And then I need people around me to follow through.
That's right. Listen, your job is not to do the work. Your job is to make sure it gets done. And some things you'll have to do, like I'm doing this, right? I'm not going to delegate this, but whatever you can delegate to a team, you know, give them work to do so they can, you know, have a job and work on their skills, sharpen their saw, get better and move up.
So what are your strategies for getting shit done?
Have a routine in the morning, train and develop people, and write my goals down every morning, every night, my goals for the year. I start my morning before I start my day, after I do like my health stuff. So I take care of me first with health stuff. And then by the time I get to about 8 o'clock, 8:15, I start looking at my day most days and what I have planned, like what meetings do I have and how do I plan for where I have to be and how do I have to be there and how should I dress and who should I have with me? Who should I, maybe I should move something or maybe I should add somebody to the meeting, something like that. Right. So that's that. And then at the end of the day, I spend a good amount of time thinking about my day and how it went and where it's kind of like watching tape after a game. Yeah. Where could I have done that day better? And if you don't think about that, then you just go into day two. If you do think about that, then you go into a new type of day one, which is much better.
You know, I am very strict about my morning routine and probably is similar to yours. And, you know, I get up at 4 a.m., have a cup of coffee, and then I go to CrossFit. Yeah. Then I come home. Yeah. What's that?
No, at 4 a.m. is not good for me.
Yeah. It's not good for everybody. Believe me. It's the routine I've started. I'm a morning person. I've got kids. I get up. I go. Like, I'm back at the house and have meditated, worked out, drank my water, done everything before 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Now, how old are your kids?
They're 13 and 9.
Yeah, so my kids are 10, 6, 2, and 1.
Oh, my gosh.
So your kids put themselves to bed at this point.
Yes.
My kids still need their night routine with me, my wife. So, and then I have my time with my wife. So I generally don't get to bed till about 10. So I start my day at 6.
Yeah, no, sun goes down and I'm like, ooh, is it bedtime? But, I share that not because I care if other people get up at 4 a.m. I don't think that's what matters. I think what matters is having that routine. And have you found that too, that actually really, truly sticking to a routine has helped in other parts of your work and life?
I didn't notice it until I started traveling more and I had days where I went off my routine. And that's when I realized, holy shit, this is very different. My days off, I felt different. I felt less focused. And then when I got right back into it, I felt better. So I didn't notice it until it was gone. Yeah. And then I appreciated it much more.
Yeah, it's definitely been really powerful for me, for sure. I want to ask you a little bit kind of off track of where we've been headed with the business and all this, you know, stuff and scaling, and it's all so good. But you're also a fitness expert. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about the impact of health on your business performance, and not just business in terms of growth, but you being able to bring the energy to the table that you need to accomplish the goals you want. Because, and I'll just very quickly share, I've lost 33 pounds in the last year and a half.
Wow. And, yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, I started doing CrossFit and this macronutrient thing, and those two things together just changed my life. And what I discovered in that is, as I got healthier, my ability to perform in life and in work just accelerated at a rate I didn't even know was possible. Ooh. I thought I was, you know, performing at a decent level, and then everything else changed. And I just would love to hear from you as the expert of like how those two things impact each other, because I do think that they're really powerful, but we don't always realize it. We think, oh my God, I've got so much work to do. I can't take care of myself, or, you know, I've got to focus on this. I'll get to me later.
Yeah. Well, so the health of an airplane is the most important part of that entire trip, that transportation. You know, it's not about the flight attendants. It's not about the peanuts. It's not about how fast it's going. It's not about how high it's going. It's not about how it took off or how it landed. It's the health of the plane. And so when you look at how much maintenance is done on a plane, how many checks are done before each and every flight and after each and every flight to make sure that that plane is in top condition. We had a flight stay on the ground for this, what I thought was silly until I realized, okay, you know, that's part of it. A plane stayed on the ground for 30 minutes because, you know, that little, the gas, it's just like a car has the little, thing that flips open so you can put gas in your car.
Yeah.
What, I don't know what it's called. Well, gas door.
Cap, maybe?
Yeah.
Something.
So that little door, tight, just about the same size, the guy that went to close it on the previous flight, he couldn't close it the right way. So he like forced it shut and it jammed. Yeah. Now it still kept it closed and it still worked and they could have still put gas in it. But they said, we are not letting this plane take off until the door is 100% replaced and ready to go. And totally unnecessary, but that made sense. You know, this plane's got to be in perfect physical condition. And I think sometimes we forget that we're the airplane and all the things that we do as far as, you know, getting to work and doing our to-do list and checking our emails, all those things are being done by the airplane, our bodies. And if we're not in top physical condition, if we have a jammed door, then we're going to be thinking about that jammed door that can affect something else. And next thing you know, you're not performing nearly as high as the guy that has no jammed door and no problems and everything's top performance. So yes, health is incredible. The top performers are constantly focusing on it. I get tested regularly on several things, blood work, food allergies, just medical testing, just make sure that I am good and healthy and my airplane is always ready for a good flight.
First of all, thank you for sharing that. I know it was a little bit off on a tangent from business, but I do, you know, my little soapbox, but I do think it's so important and I appreciate the insight. And I love that you equated it to another system. Like, I think I'm hearing the pattern from you, Mike. I think I'm getting it.
Yeah.
Follow the systems that work and improve right. them and focus on them and then get the people to run the systems. What is your piece of advice for entrepreneurs out there who are trying to do what you did, which is, you know, from my perspective looking in, is you were able to scale really incredibly well a smart business in a really crowded industry and do it in a way that was different and innovative and meaningful to your clients. So what's your advice to other people trying to do that?
If you want to build and scale the way I did, you have to dive all the way in. That's the best way to do it. If you want to learn Spanish, you can pick up a book and go from there, or you can move to Spain for a month and watch how fast you learn it. And not only do you learn it, but you learn it the way that it's actually being spoken. See, what happens is people start reading these books and they understand things, but they still can't talk to a business owner because the business owner will like use certain terminology that maybe wasn't referenced in the book. Same thing when you learn Spanish in a book versus when you go to Spain, you're going to be more fluent because you understand like how it's being said and why it's being said. The book doesn't really do it that way. So surround yourself by going to conferences, surround yourself by getting mentors, coaches. Surround yourself by going to these workshops and events where other people that are doing what you want to do are there. So you only know how to talk that language. One of my coaches said, when you're in a room of really successful people, the conversation is never about limits. And that's 100% true. It never, never is. It's always about ideas or solutions or experience share. And when you have that constantly going into your brain, you don't really have a second option. You only know how to do that. So you've got to like drench yourself in it. Anything that's not that, you have to kind of eliminate it, get rid of it.
So launch readers, this is so important, what's Mike saying, which is steep yourself in the thing that you're trying to accomplish and surround yourself with amazing people who have done it and who can actually give you great advice too.
My favorite movie is Rocky. It's my favorite movie. And when you watch Rocky, once he knew he had a fight, he did nothing but focus on that fight. The guy trained in the morning, he trained in the afternoon, he's chasing chickens. He didn't, you know, hook up with his girl because women weaken legs. That's what his trainer said.
I forgot like, about that.
Yeah, like he was all about winning the championship. That's what Rocky did. In every Rocky movie, when he found out he was fighting the Russian in Rocky IV, he moved to Russia. And he trained in a cabin, and that's all he did. He put a picture on his mirror of the guy he's getting revenge for, right? And the guy who's beaten. And that's what you have to do. You don't just kind of like dip your toe in the water.
I'm going to add to that because I love those movies, although I haven't watched them in a while. But the other thing I always appreciated about the Rocky movies is that he never has all the resources, access to the best equipment. Like, you know, he's just this guy trying to get it done, and he's running up steps and in the barn, right? He's hanging from the rafters and he does whatever it takes with what he has.
And the great thing is it's so great and metaphorical because Sylvester Stallone, the guy who plays Rocky, that's exactly what happened to him in real life to get Rocky off the ground. For everyone listening, go ahead and read the story on how Sylvester Stallone was prior to Rocky and how he actually ended up landing Rocky. And you'll realize how Rocky is so metaphorical to his own life.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think people don't give him enough credit. For the, not just being the actor in the movie, but really his intelligence and his perspective and his persistence to get that done. So, Mike, where should people go to learn more and connect with you?
All my social media handles are Mike RC Live. So M-I-K-E, Mike, A-R-C-E, R-C, and then Live, L-I-V-E. So on Instagram, it's Mike RC Live, Facebook, Twitter. And then also you can go to youragencycoach.com if you want to learn how to build and scale an agency, if that's something you're interested in.
Cool. So what's the one thing people would be surprised to learn about you, a hobby, passion, experience?
Oh, goodness. I know most songs, if not every song by heart to Frozen, Moana, Lion King, Aladdin. I have three daughters.
Yes, you do. So, you know them all.
I know them by tonality. I can hit notes most people can't think I can hit.
Just movies. I will say this, though, talking about like steeping yourself in it. When kids decide that they like a movie, you watch it 100 million times as a parent.
And that's how they can recite the movie from beginning to end, and they know the movie. Yeah. And they know the game. You want to know the game. Yeah, exactly. Great point.
Yeah, it just kind of occurred to me as you were talking about that, because I could recite the whole Nemo movie if you'd like. I'd start in the beginning or I could start in the middle, anywhere, because I've seen it a million times, but it is a great analogy. So Mike, thank you. This has been so insightful. And launch readers out there, think about your systems. Think about if you're really all in or if you're just dipping your toe. I'd venture to say that sometimes we're just dipping our toe when we really should be all in. This has been fantastic. I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you. Bye tomorrow.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.